going to call the June 28th regular meeting of the Chatham County Metropolitan Planning Commission to order. Please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Manigault.
We thank you, O Lord, for all the good things that you provide for us. We thank you for the good weather that we have seen here in the Savannah area compared to other places in the U.S. Give us the strength and desire to make good and honest decisions. Look on our service men and women. Give them the strength to do the job and bring them home to us. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There are agendas on the table outside near the door to the hearing room. Today's agenda is broken down into several parts. First, have notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, we have the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff recommendation and there are no known objections. And then we move into the old business, regular business, other business, and adjournment. There's a sign-in sheet that's at the door to the hearing room. Please sign this sheet to record your attendance at today's meeting. For those of you who would like to speak, we ask that you sign one of these blue cards, blue speaker cards, and give it to someone at the table. That will allow you to speak when your item comes up. And the timeline for that, in order to make sure that we've given everyone equal timing, the number of blue cards determine the time that we give to the speakers. And to outline the order in which the meeting is conducted, each petition has a report presented by staff to the board providing information on the petition. After the staff presentation, board members may ask questions of staff regarding the presentation for clarification. The petitioner is then offered to make a presentation regarding his petition to the commissioner, and a time frame of 10 to 30 minutes will be allowed for the presentation. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open to the public for comment, and the total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation. Therefore, it's important that you go ahead and sign one of these cards and hand it in. Once the floor is open to the public on the petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain that you want to speak, still provide a card, and you will have the option to decline when your name is called. So after public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for a rebuttal and then the additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. So first on our agenda is to approve the agenda. And we have items that are going to be removed, and the items being removed are rezoning of 512 Indian Street, and that's actually being withdrawn. 7 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard is being withdrawn. Now we have three items actually that are going to be continued to July 19th, and a couple other ones are date uncertain. Can we approve the Mr. Comer?
Motion to approve the agenda as submitted.
Second.
So we have a motion on the floor from Mr. Coleman to approve the agenda as submitted, and second by Mr. Manigault. Can you ring out the vote?
Yeah, just a second, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Just a moment, please. Okay. I'm so sorry. Okay, Colvin and who seconded?
Mr. Cole. Oh, Mr. Madigan.
Okay. Viola, sorry.
You did not vote. And we'll move next to the consent agenda. And we have, of course, accepting the June 7th MPC meeting and briefing minutes, and also the approval renewal of the wireless facility at 1151 Mohawk. Yes, sir?
We have to approve the items requested to be removed from the agenda. We have to formally do that.
That's what we just did, didn't we?
We just approved the agenda.
Okay, so that's the items that we just requested to be removed. We're going to vote to approve the items.
Motion that those items be removed from the final agenda.
Second.
So it was moved from Mr.
Woods.
And second by Mr. Colvin to remove those items from the agenda. And we may go. Motion. Motion passes. So now we can move to the consent agenda. And the items on the consent agenda, of course, are approving the MPC minutes for June 7th, and of course, the approval renewal of the wireless facility at 1151 Mohawk.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Been motioned by Mr. Wood and second by Mr. Overton to approve the consent agenda. And you may now vote. And the motion passes. Now we'll move to our regular business, which is new construction on the Victorian District, 545 East Gwinnett Street. Ms. Leah.
Residential duplex on the vacant parcel that's here at 545 East Gwinnett Street. They've already applied for a subdivision of this property into two equal parcels. It will be an attached side-by-side duplex, which is how it can be fee simple down the middle. All the development standards. All the development standards are met. No variances or adjustments are being requested, and that includes lot area, lot width, all setbacks, maximum building height, maximum lot coverage, and parking requirements. With regard to visual compatibility, this is a context elevation. This shows the photos of each lot in comparison with the adjacent buildings. As we discussed in the pre-meeting, this is a non-historic one-story building. This is the proposed building. This is a historic one-story and two historic two-story buildings adjacent to this lot. Staff feels that the project is visually compatible with regard to height, proportions, opening sizes, rhythm of buildings on the street, entrances and porch projections, relationship of materials, roof shape, and walls of continuity, scale of the building, and directional expression. I'm just gonna scroll through the rest of these drawings just to show you the floor plans. And this is the main building, front elevation, rear elevation, and both sides are proposed to be that. This is the carriage house lane facing, courtyard facing, and side elevation, and general wall sections and structural plan. Staff is recommending approval with a couple of minor conditions. The first one is to ensure that the COA, that the COA approval is contingent on the subdivision being approved. Two, to ensure that this horizontal infill that you can see between these piers is recessed from the pier faces, and that these balusters for the front handrails are 4 inches apart. And then the last one is, this is the carriage house, this is the lane, the trash and the refuse areas are proposed here. We're asking that either a gate be added to block them or that their storage location be moved to here. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? We have no questions. Can we use the petitioner here to present? Would you come forth and state your name for the record, please?
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is John Leonard with Sawyer Design. I'm here representing the owners for the Gaudette Street project. What I'd like to do is, since this is already been staff approved, is just kind of sit back and see if anyone has any questions or concerns and come back and answer those directly, if I may, as opposed to putting together a full presentation. It looks like we are the only people here today, so it would be nice to get you guys out of here and off to working on other things if we could.
Thank you so much. Mr. Ed Perch, could you come forward and state your name, please?
Hi, I'm Ed Perch. I'm the little house right next to the proposal. And also myself, I'm a licensed architect, former with the city of Savannah and some other places of employment. Just wanted to say that I think that this is probably in the long run going to help my property values. But in the short term, and also I want to say too that I'm grateful for everybody on the board and for all your time that you serve here and do such a marvelous public service job. My hat is off to you. I guess what I have a question on is that if it would be appropriate to have the whole subdivision, all the lots planned out, or at least some idea before any approvals are granted for separate lots. I don't know if that's an issue or not, or if that's possible to have an idea of what the total development of the minor subdivision will be. But I would like to see that before this is approved. And then really, like I said, I'm not anti-development. I think this will help my property values in the long run. But I just would, in addition to some of staff's recommendations, I feel that while this project has met all the height restrictions, the side yard setbacks, the massing, it is right up to the maximum on pretty much all of those. And if it could be scaled back somewhat, I mean, there's a lot, there is a duplex directly across the street on the other side of Gwinnett that has 8 foot plate heights that sits about 3.5 feet up off the ground. Whereas here we're about 4 feet up off the ground and we have 10 foot plate heights. There's also a detail in one of the drawings that I saw that actually called out for 12 foot one first floor plate height. It was on section 400 on sheet A400 on the drawings. And that had me a little concerned that are we approving 10 foot or we've got 12 foot here? That would definitely set it up over the 35 foot height limit, I think, or get it right close to it. My other question is on the front elevation, it shows a shed roof on the portico. From the front view, but then the side view looks like it shows a hip roof. I'd like to see that clarified. It seems like there's a little bit of an issue there with, you know, what is it that they're actually designing there for that portico? Let's see, what else? If there was, the house is, of course, my little cottage is about 900 square feet, called my 900 square feet of bliss, and I just, of course, when you lose that much light, you're always, would like to see that whatever project there gets scaled down, so at least I might have a couple of days of light. But I would think that if the designer would take into consideration, and I think he's done a great job with this too, and John is a terrific designer, but if there was a way that they could lower it 8 inches, on the plinth, and if they could call out what that material is. I'm assuming it's stucco over block, but I'm not quite sure. It didn't really say on the plans. And in addition, if there's any way they could go to 9.5 foot ceiling heights on the first floor and possibly on the second, just to, I think, bring it into the scale of the neighboring house to my west. The plate heights there are 9.5 feet on the first floor, 9 feet on the second floor. And the house next door is actually, if you could scroll back to that elevation, it's actually taller than the house next to mine. And I don't know if that is nitpicking or anything like that, but it just seemed to me to be a little bit not quite accurate.
Do we have any questions for Mr. Perch? Okay, Mr. Perch, are you done now?
Well, like I said, the only thing I'd just like to wrap up and say is that I would like to see this resubmitted with slightly smaller scale massing instead of the, taking it to the maximum footprint, the maximum height, and the maximum side yard setbacks. I just think that neighborhood is a smaller scale right there. Or even if this project could be moved to the corner, I think it'd be a great corner building. And get a smaller scale proposal for the other two smaller lots that are closer to a smaller scale.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Would the petitioner like to come forth, please, to rebut? And we're looking at, your decision to get us out of here. So.
Real quick again, my name is John Leonard, Sawyer Design. Thank you, Ed, for all those comments. They're great analysis of the building. I think from a subdivision standpoint, that one is out of our project scope. I know that is underway and taking place. So I really can't answer questions directly to that.
Directly to what?
What is the overall subdivision? How is the overall project? I know that the owner has the lot on the corner and things on the back. However, our contract is just with the duplex, so I don't know what's going on with those other things. In terms of the ceiling heights, to quickly clarify, yes, we are calling for a 10-foot first floor and a 9-foot second floor. I certainly don't have any issues if we take that first floor and knock it down to 9.6. I think that's something that we can work through. Certainly won't hurt the design. And may actually help fit into the neighborhood just that much, a little bit better. We certainly don't have any issues to that. In terms of clarifying the shed roof to the front, that's something we can do when we hand back in for all of our final approvals and sign-offs. I think that's just a drawing issue. I think the other thing to really point out, too, is the first floors. Right now, Mr. Perch's house is, I believe, is at 105 feet above mean sea level. We're calling ours to be at 104. Because again, we realize the overall height. We want to make sure we stay within that whole line of continuity throughout the whole streetscape. If we need to take that and, say, knock another 6 inches out of that, it's only going to help us from a budget standpoint. So, taking that down another 6 inches certainly won't be actually better if we took it a whole block height. 8 inches certainly wouldn't hurt the project at all. And then real quick from the overall corner, we do know that eventually something will happen on that property. We don't know what yet. But the other thing we really wanted to pay attention to is not only what was going to happen to Mr. Perch's house and everything over to the west, but when we look at the east, will we be in line with that, whatever happens to that in the future? Now, again, that's a bare lot. Is that going to be in 3 weeks, 6 months, or a year? But I would only assume that something significant will happen on that piece of property. We want to make sure we pay attention to that on top of the entire streetscape. Other than that, if there's any questions I can answer directly, just please let me know.
Mr. Maggie?
So the two, you didn't have problems making adjustments by your admission to taking it back to 9.6, you said?
From a ceiling height perspective, absolutely not. Right. We certainly can take that down another 6 inches, yes.
And then back to the sea level issue that you were talking about, you didn't have any problems making that?
Yeah, right now we have a foot difference, again, 105 versus 104. But, if we want to take it down to 103.2, again, it's only going to help us from the budget perspective. So certainly don't have any issues with that.
Very good.
And
Actually, I can entertain a motion, please.
I'm going to die.
I move that we accept staff's...
Can I have one more comment?
No, sir.
I move that we accept staff's recommendations for approval, including the issues 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the recommendation, and applicants' willingness to reduce the ceiling height on the first floor to 9.5 feet. Ground floor elevation to be no higher than 103 feet.
Can I get a second?
I think we have one
second.
It's been moved by Mr. Overton and seconded by Mr. Mackey that we approve staff recommendations with the...
I know I'm out of order.
Use the mic.
But before you vote, would you mind letting Leah address that it could affect HBR approval?
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate
HRB,
it.
HRB, rather.
We just have concerns with visual compatibility with lowering floor-to-floor or foundation heights. We asked for a context elevation such as this to ensure that foundation and floor-to-floor heights are comparable with historic buildings that are adjacent to it. And as it's currently designed, you can see that this foundation height is actually, it's comparable, if not lower, than some of the buildings. And same thing with the floor-to-floor heights. We're equal here. The eave heights are at the same heights, and from a preservation and visual compatibility standpoint, we would have concerns with lowering those, because then it would be incompatible with the other historic two-story buildings. I just wanted to say that real quick.
Would lowering the first floor ceiling heights to 9'5" or 9.5 feet jeopardizing that compatibility?
I mean, that might be okay. You can see here, this is already almost identical to this historic two building here with them, because then the head heights of the windows will be significantly lower, the floor heights will be lower, and then you get the same thing up here where these, you know, so they don't always need to be identical. But if we lower the foundation height and then lower the first floor height and then lower the second floor height, you're looking at 2 to 3 feet lower than the other two-story building.
I would suggest that I amend my motion to not adjust the foundation height.
Mr. Colburn.
Alex does make a remark about compatibility is not an absolute value. And dropping that down, we're talking 8 inches plus 6 inches. I mean, so you're talking just over a foot in elevation difference. So I don't think that perception, other than looking at an elevation like that, would ever be seen by anyone. And I think it's too minor a difference to sit here and say that would create any compatibility issues elevation-wise. So I see no reason why we can't go with the compromises that have been put forth to address the height, and I think it's fine.
I agree with that.
Okay, so the comp, so then your...
Then my original motion stands. I knew I had it right.
Okay, you may vote. So let me state the motion again. It has been the motion that we approve staff recommendations along with the two. What was that, 9.5?
9.5 feet for the first floor, and floor to ceiling height, and a reduction of the first floor elevation to 103 feet.
And that
including staff recommendations.
That is a compromise.
1 through 4.
Thank you so much.
You did say 9 feet, 6 inches?
9.5 feet, floor to ceiling height.
Or 9 feet, 6 inches.
0.5 being 6 inches.
I'll fix it later.
Or 12 hands.
I'm so sorry, that's not vote, exactly please. Right, but I'll get it.
On that letter, who else could have copied besides you?
It's up to you.
You're it. Okay. You can decide when you get it.
Okay.
Motion passes.
I think it's right.
in the next motion?
You're done. I'll motion to adjourn.
Excuse me, Madam Chairman. We need to do the development plan submitted for the seat.
Yeah, I do that.
No, I'd like to have red bubbles.
I'll go ahead and read them publicly.
I couldn't get them to open.
Let me just get to that.
I think I deleted it by mistake.
So we're going to read the development plans. Ms. Overton would like to have them read publicly. They are on the website. I will read them.
I have a personal tablet. So here it is, right here. So what's important?
And they are as follows.
This is why it goes over sometimes. You got this extra crap in there.
Excuse me, y'all. We still in.
If you take that page break out.
No, don't take the page break out. I need that.
The development plans are the Savannah Chatham Metro Police Department Metroplex Parking at 78 Ross Road. It's a site plan review. The Quick Shot Indoor Shooting Range, which is located at 7202 White Bluff Road, is a site plan under review. And the Ogeechee Road Convenience Store, which is located at 2320 Ogeechee Road, is a site plan under review. The Riders Savannah, 1495 Mistress Avenue, is a site plan under review. And Gaston Ward, recombination of lots 1 and 2, located at 509 Chapman Street, is a subdivision under review. The Highland Falls, Phase 3 and 4 at Redwall Circle, is a subdivision under review. And the Webb subdivision, which is located at 430 Derrick N Road, is under review. And that actually concludes the agenda. Is there any other business? Thank you all, and I'll see you at July 19th meeting.
Madam Chair,
yes. Let
me ask a question. I know, just like when I interrupt y'all out of order, sometimes we can make a big mistake if there is something obviously wrong before y'all take the vote. Like, it maybe, let's just say it did void the approval of the Historic Review Board. It would be very appropriate to have that known to y'all before y'all take the vote. So I don't know.
What's Gary, their action would not avoid it. That's a recommendation. The board decides. So, and they did.
It's not a recommendation.
The Victoria District is our approval,
it comes
not
to the, board
the staff's approval.
That comes to the board.
Yeah, for Victorian only. Not right. the historic review, you're right. We couldn't make that change, but this was a Victorian.
That's right. But I'm just, I was using that as an example, though.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You can interrupt me anytime.
Thank you.